So today, we continue on the series, Warring by Faith. Warring by Faith. The only warring that Christians do is by faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says that we should fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And so, in the last 2 weeks, we have been looking at what faith means at a higher level, but yet in a deeper way. So we see some scriptures in what faith is. The prayer of faith, also called petition prayer, is Mark 11:24. Jesus says, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." So when you pray in the present, believe that you receive when you pray, which is in the present, then you shall see the manifestations. So everything we pray for that lines up with God's word, we should receive. But in general, it's not instantaneous, it's in the future. Whether or not you receive it depends on whether or not you cancel your prayers. And it's very easy to cancel your prayers if you're not aware of the process of faith. Everything you do between the amen to the prayer and the there it is of the manifestation is called standing in faith or spiritual warfare. You're standing in a military stance, always ready to fight. Fight what? Fight the good fight of faith. For the enemy will try to steal the blessings of God. If the enemy can steal enough of the blessings of God from your life, if the enemy can prevent a large enough number of your prayers from being manifested the way you want them, then you'll give up and walk away and think, well, it doesn't work. And if you come to that conclusion on any scripture in the Bible, then you'll either fall away from Christianity, fall away from the gospel, or you'll concoct some weird, strange explanations as to why the Bible doesn't really mean what it means. And that's really prevalent toward the church today. Both the falling away, which is prophesied, and the concoctions of man's mental explanations of why the Bible doesn't mean what it says. The Bible has some absolutely amazingly, incredibly, wonderfully, and beautiful promises. But if we can't accept the simple one, which is God wants to give you whatever you ask, that as Romans 8:32 says, that if when you were a sinner, God sent his son to die for you, know that you're in the family, what else would God and the son not give you? It's that simple. In fact, he has already given it all to you. Your joint ears, everything that Jesus owns, you also own. You're a joint ear. And God has given everything he has to Jesus. It all belongs to you anyway. In fact, John 14:14 says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, Jesus says. In fact, a deeper level of the translation is, whatever you demand in my name, I'll give it to you. And the give means, if I don't have it, I'll make it. Whatever you demand in my name, I'll give it to you, and if I don't have it, I'll make it. These are powerful, powerful scriptures. And lives and ministries have been changed and built around them. And we are using these to prepare ourselves for the ending days. So we've been studying what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen, of things not yet seen. It's a substance. The substance is what you feel. The substance make it seem real to you. The evidence is proof. So your faith is a substance that you feel to know it's true, and it's the evidence that proves its reality. Same scripture in the Amplified Classic. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Your faith is the title deed of what God promised. God is not a man that he should lie. And God, the Bible says, by two things by which it is impossible for God to lie. By his promise and his oath. You can't break his promise, and you can't break his oath. You know the promises belong to us. And they come to us through faith and patience. And the patience is necessary as we war against the enemy. And we war by faith. So faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. Your faith is a proof of things you don't see. Don't need to go to the doctor for the doctor to tell you, yes, this machine made by this company that's now bankrupt for putting software in there that makes the machine run better than it seems to be and uses more gas than it seems to be, is telling you, yes, you've been healed from cancer. Why would you want to believe that? Or you're not healed from cancer. It's a machine made by man. It uses all the machines today use software. In fact, most of the advances are built around software. In fact, the guy who started all the process was my boss a long time ago when we worked on the first shot to Venus and Mars. Okay? First time a spacecraft went by Mars, you could not see anything. Every picture that came back, which was millions of pictures came back, all you could see was red. Everything was red. That's a red planet, but you didn't expect to see only red. Because there was a dust storm or dirt storm, whatever they have up there, it was a storm, and the whole place was full of red stuff. And so my boss came up with the idea of using computers to filter out all the red and save the entire mission. In order that grew all these things you see about MRIs and CAT scan and all the kind of stuff. Computerized automation. Okay? He died a very wealthy man. Saved, but just barely born again. Okay? So, you all know that computers work in garbage in, garbage out, right? You also know computers work by programmers who write the code. And the code today is being written by what? Millennials. And millennials are those who have significant challenges. Their focus time is, I've been told, 8 seconds. They have to multiprocess. They can't do one thing. They got to do multiprocessing. Here's the thing with computers. It takes total 100% focus. They haven't got it. I told my wife almost 20 years ago, watch computers start falling apart all over. DMV was closed in California for about 5 days, maybe still is, because of computer problems, right? Things are going on all the time. They're talking about the Russian affecting our elections. Why? Computers, computers, computers. You know, I was doing a transaction with a bank online. Something simple, not transferring a funds or anything. And their system hiccuped and just basically broke. It was a software bug. Well, on my particular computer happens to be the development tools that was used to build that software. So their computer recognized that on my computer were the right tools and says, do you want to debug this? So just for heck of said, yeah, sure. Boops, the entire bank system's opened up. Every single account for every single customer was available. Instantly. So I called the bank and I told them. I didn't go in and transfer some money to me, which would not have been a bad idea. Just kidding, Lord, just kidding. You know, I had a friend who did that. I had a friend who, he maybe still is, was listed for decades in the Guinness Book of World Record for the world's biggest bank robbery. It's my friend. He worked for me. My friend and he worked for me. I founded a company, and I was busy with a larger company, so I put him in charge. And we had a system that we built that, this is a long time ago, folks. This is 40, 45 years ago, whatever. And we were transferring at that time through that one system $4 billion a day. $4,000 million a day, 40, 45 years ago. And he decided, hey, you know, it's so easy to just modify the course and take a little bit out, they won't even miss it. So he did. He siphoned out $10 million And the only reason why they got wise was he went to the attorney. This is a couple weeks afterward. He saved all the money. He went to Switzerland, and he's really smart. He saved the money into an account. He went to Switzerland, bought diamonds from the Russians, and wrote a check to the Russians against the account. So no cash change hands, just checks. Came back to the U.S. with over $10 million in diamonds, leaving the Russians with a bad check during the Cold War, near the end of the Cold War. Wasn't a good thing for public relations. Came back here and went to his lawyer and says, the lawyer was also his friend. Bound by attorney-client privilege. You've all heard of that? Yeah. All of them except this lawyer. All except this lawyer. He goes to him and says, listen, I'm going to disappear, and I want to give you a check. He says, here's a check for you for, I think, $50,000. And he says, here's a check for me for $100,000. It's a long time ago, you know, $100,000 was a lot of money. And here's some checks for like $20,000, $30,000 to these people. Could you transfer all this money? And the lawyer said, that's wonderful, that's great, $50,000, that's wonderful. But where did you get all this money? No, like 2 weeks have gone by, nobody's noticed the money is missing. And he, because it's his friend, is bound by client attorney privilege, told him. Says, I robbed the bank. Whereupon, after he left, the attorney called the FBI. And so the FBI looked for like a week, could not find it. So, Halloween night, about 40 years ago, I get a call. The guy says, this is the FBI. I said, listen, man, this is not time for trick or treat. I'm busy. I'm about to hang up. The guy says, no, this is the FBI. I said, I don't believe you. I'm going to hang up the phone. Don't hang up the phone. This is the FBI. I said, okay, what do you want? He says, you know this man? I said, yeah. He says, he robbed the bank. Uh-oh. So he said, we've been looking for like a week and we can't find out where he robbed the bank, but we know he robbed the bank. So he says, well, how do you know he robbed the bank if you don't know which bank? He says, his lawyer told us. So much for client attorney privilege. So I thought about that. I said, well, best thing I can do is separate myself from this guy. So I said, if you rob the bank, the most logical place is this, because we transfer $4,000 million a day. So I'd go there and look. Said, okay, he hung up. Went there. Took them 5 days to find it. They had the right bank. It took them 5 days to find it. And they finally found the bank. Finally found where the money was, where it came from. So he made the Guinness Book of World Record. They caught him. He went to jail for a short time. And they hired him. The government hired him to be a security expert. Okay? Hired him to be a security expert. So he came out spending like a, or whatever, right? But he ruined my company. I had five corporations trying to buy the company. And for some reason, once the company is involved in robbing a bank, some people don't want to buy you. Okay? So I won't charge you extra for that story, okay? See, I'm curious. How many people here have heard that story before? Wow. 4 or 5. Wow. I have a lot of stories, you know that? We should have like a 24-hour service and I'll tell you stories for 24 hours. Okay. I think we're talking about warring by faith, okay? So, Hebrews 6:12. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become lazy, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, and here is the definition of faith from Hebrews 6:12, by the leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. ABC modification, higher level. Replace personality with being. By the leaning of the entire being on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. Pastor Michael's favorite scripture is Colossians 2, 9 and 10. It says, you're complete in Christ Jesus. You can only be complete in Christ Jesus. I mean, spiritually you are, but you can only be complete in Christ Jesus in the natural, in this world, if you lean on God with your entire being in complete trust and confidence. 100%. And The problem is, this is where the warring starts. Faith is believing that you have received when you pray. In the present. Faith is always in the present. If you're looking for the future, it ain't faith. No, the manifestation is in the future, but that's not your problem. Your problem is believing in the present. God's problem is to ensure that it manifests in the future, because he's not a man that you should lie. Your problem is to be walking in faith in the present. I believe I've received. I believe it's done. I have received. It's done. If you believe it, you have received and that it is done, then you'll have what you say. If you believe it's done and do not doubt in your heart, you'll have what you say. If you believe it's done, you speak and act as if it's done. There is no plan B because you believe it's done. If there's a plan B, it means you don't believe it's done. If you're not acting and talking and speaking as if it's done, then you don't believe it's done. Because why in the world, you know, if you call your cat, come here, kitty, 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 and the cat comes in here and the cat is right there. See how much I've changed. Yeah. When I said this 20 years ago, it was, come here, doggy, 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 doggy. Yeah. Now I'm a dog person who has cats. Okay? But you call the cat and it comes here. Why would you keep calling the cat? You believe it's done. The cat is here. But in the natural, we believe things are done in the natural when we see it with our eyes. Which is not necessarily true. It could be a hallucination. It could be psychotropic drugs. It could be a hypnotic effect. It could be a perceptual challenge. There are many things in the natural that we think are so, and they're not. We have a learned audience here, so I know you all understand what I'm saying here. Perception is not reality. But spiritually, reality is believing it's done. Reality is what the Word of God says. If you believe it's done, why in the world would you ever think about it not being done? The fact that you think it's not done means you didn't think it was done in the first place. Are you all following me? If you think it's done, you think it's done. If you think it's done, act like it's done. Speak like it's done. Live your life as if it's done. Anything else is canceling your prayer. So therein lies the warfare. We now understand what faith is. Would you fight the good fight of faith? 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Well, now we know what faith is. We can fight it. What are we fighting? Ephesians 6:12, you're warring not against flesh and blood. Well, if you're not warring against flesh and blood, don't keep your eyes on flesh and blood, whether it be somebody else's flesh and blood or yours. Your war is not against a person. It's not in the natural. Your war is not against what the person says. It's not against what your body says. Your body screams, I'm hungry. Shut up, body, eat when I tell you. I'm trying to pull up the depths of my heart to get you to understand. I've been doing this a long time. And I've seen what happened to people who don't get it. You need to get it, and you need to live it. The consequences are not fun. So faith simply means, I don't doubt it in my heart. It's done. I believe I receive. My words and my actions are matching my prayers. I'm confessing with my mouth and believing in my heart. Those are all definitions of faith. Action definitions of faith. Faith is believing you receive. Period. Right now. Right now. Everything else is a perceptual challenge. And therein lies the warfare. Because once you believe you receive, the devil will do everything he can to get you to think it hasn't worked. He can't do it through the Bible. He can't do it spiritually. He's defeated. He has to do it through the physical. And so he starts to present all these thoughts and all these things you see that are trying to tell you it didn't work. You thank God. The choice is not, do I bow my knees to a false idol or do I get thrown into a den of fire, not a den of fire, a den of lions, or a furnace of fire to test my faith. Thank God you don't have that choice. But there are Christians today who do. And there'll be Christians in the future. And the day will come when all of us will have choices like that. You must, every person, God is no respecter of persons. Every person is going to come to the point where it's a life and death choice. You want to come to that point when you're ready, not when the devil is ready. If you are fighting an enemy, you want to start the fight when you want it, and you want to start the fight where you want it and how you want it. If you're really good in a sword fight, don't go in a gunfight. You want to pick the fight with the enemy when you're built up, when you're ready, at your timing. Most Christians do not do that. They wait till the enemy picks the fight. Oh my gosh, it's pain in my foot. No, you got to fight. Well, you weren't ready. You probably were just screaming at your wife, which is probably where you got a pain in your foot. Christians let the devil pick the timing, the place, and the weapons. Don't do that. You pick it. How do you pick it? Well, you realize you're warring against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. You're warring against demons, devils, evil spirits. That's why we have semester 3. Learn how to war. And then use it. Don't go to semester 3 and hang the diploma on the wall, and every once in a while you go by and polish it. Don't do that. Live it. You should have ongoing cleansing sessions. You should grow from the point where you have ongoing cleansing sessions, say once a month or once a week, to where after every time you confess your sins, you automatically end it by casting all the demons out behind the sin. Behind every sin, there's a demon. Get rid of him. Why RRB, repent, renounce, and break, if you don't cast the demon out? That's the kind of lifestyle we want to have. That's warfare. So, what you say and what you do will precede the manifestation. It will determine if you get the manifestation or if you cancel your prayers. So, fight the good fight of faith. We know what faith is. Faith is in the now. Faith is believing that you receive and acting and speaking like it. Anything else is not faith. It's mental assent. Faith comes out of your heart. Now, what's the fight? The fight is a spiritual warfare between the amen and the manifestation. The fight is a standing in a military stance, ready to fight. The fight is what you do when the fire darts come to your mind or your body. When the devil hits you with thoughts that contradict the fact that you've been healed, that's the fight. When the pain is still challenging your body after you believe you receive, that's the fight. The fight is everything in the natural, everything in the physical that tries to contradict the word of God. And what's your job? To cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ Jesus. Cast down any thought that says your prayer didn't work. Cast on every thought that contradicts the Bible. And bring every thought into the captivity of what Christ Jesus said, of what the Bible said. Bring every thought in to the kind of thought that belongs in the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You are never going to live complete in Christ Jesus in the natural if you don't start thinking you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Nothing should be in your mind except what belongs in the mind of Christ. So a great way for you to pick the battle and start it is not wait till there's a challenge in your body, but go after the pet sins, the regular sins you have in your mind. What are the regular sins in your mind? Could be sexual thoughts. It could be rehashing old grudges going over problems you have with somebody, thinking about telling somebody a piece of your mind, sinful memories, that's where you want to fight. Pick the battle and fight there. When you do that, it will be a lot easier to stand in faith for a particular manifestation. So, to walk in victory during the warfare, we must walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is walking by what the Bible says. The Bible says, I've been healed, so I've been healed. Everything else is walking by sight. What the doctor says, what my body says, what my friends and family say, all this is walking by sight. What your checking account says, that's walking by sight. The devil must get you to walk by sight, because if you walk by faith, he's going to lose. So he has to get you to focus on the physical. And the way he gets you to focus on the physical, many times, beside the obvious thoughts of what's not working, is to bring things from the past. You remember, every fall, you come down with a cold. You come down with the flu. He brings those things back to you. So you got to walk by faith. Walking by faith is like the same as not walking by sight. Not walking by sight. Not walking by sight is very difficult for all people, but I think in many ways for people in a more prosperous country, especially Western country. Eastern countries, they can walk by faith. I think they generally are trained to walk by faith and can avoid walking by sight. The problem, their faith is not in God through Christ Jesus. Their faith is in, generally speaking, demons and devils. But they're walking by voices they hear and things that happen in the spiritual, and not so much by sight. I mean, the ones who are really trying to do it and are better off. But you see, we need to walk in faith in God through Christ Jesus. So in the Western country, a more prosperous country, we have been trained since we were born to walk by sight. Don't go play with the flowers because bees will sting you. How's that one? You got to do your homework, your calculus in pre-K so you can go up to kindergarten. Right? Do your homework. It's all walking by sight to go to the next level. All our lives we've been trained to walk by sight. We've been trained to live by mammon, by the system of mammon. Look at your life and see how interwoven with mammon you are. And all these are things in the natural. And the devil wants us to be so interwoven with mammon that as in the ending days, starting almost immediately, as the governments of the world started to put pressure on people to go where they want them to go and do the things they want them to do, the choices are going to become hard choices for people who don't walk by faith. One I used many times is, you can't get your Medicare, your Medi-Cal, or your Social Security if you don't take the chip. How's that for a grabber? The first time in the history of this country, I believe, and I've heard experts say, first time in the history of this country, that the government has forced the people of this country to buy a product was the Affordable Care Act. First time in the history of the country. Once you force them to buy one thing, the other forces just follow along automatically. Think about it. People in this country are forced to buy insurance. They're forcing people to get their kids inoculated if they're in public schools, which most kids are. Just might be a matter of time before all schools have to be inoculated. That's why so many believers homeschool their kids. So, not walking by sight. Psalm 119, 105, the word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You got to believe that where you are and how you're doing is based on what the word of God says. Not what you see or not what you hear. You might think, well, you know, I worked my whole life and now I've got some money in the bank and I kick back and relax and retire. Or that's what I'm going to do. That doesn't tell you where you are. I mean, how many people have lost their retirement funds for so many different reasons? I remember my wife and I were ministering back east, and we're staying in the home of friends of hers from college or high school, I forget. And the husband was an engineer of some renown. He designs all these systems that package things. So he's a designer and was well off. And I told him, this was back in 2007, I guess. And I told him, or 2008 early, I said, the stock market isn't going to crash. Take all your money out of the stock market. And he laughed and he says, oh, all my money are in blue chip stocks. I got General Motors and a couple of others. Well, you know what happened with the recession? General Motors went bankrupt. He must have lost several fortunes. Why is that? Because he was not attuned to the Spirit of God and was not teachable. Successful people are generally not teachable. And all of us are successful at something. We're all successful at something. And in the area in which we're successful, pretty much most people are not teachable. So, where you are and how well you're doing is what the Word of God says. As best as you can, live a lifestyle which reflects your belief that you have already received the manifestation of the prayer. If the devil is lying about your health, speak and act as if you already have been healed. Because your faith requires works. Your faith requires works. Now the warfare is you're wrestling against principalities and powers. And so we need to know something about them. You can, after semester 3, with a bit of practice, get close to the point where with just a couple of commands, you can have pain and infirmities healed in seconds or minutes. But it takes practice. Because in the beginning, the devil will pull out, he will do everything he can for it to be blocked so you believe it doesn't work. Same thing with Mark 11:24. When you first learn that you can pray Mark 11:24, the prayer of faith, the devil will pull out all the stops to try to get it not to work. But once you understand that, and there's no doubt in your heart that Mark 11:24 works, then he shifts it to other areas. Eventually, when you get to the area of authority, that's where you really get involved in the warfare. And everybody needs to get involved in that warfare. We're on B3. Do not test whether or not you have already received by checking circumstantial evidence. See, here the devil has a lot of people between a rock and a hard place. They've grown up relying on doctors and medicines and insurance. And they've grown up thinking if there's a challenge, you go see the doctor. The doctor fixes it, and you go back to the same lifestyle you had before. They have not grown up thinking, this is spiritual warfare. If things aren't working, I need to change my lifestyle to be more godly so I can solve the problem. They don't think that way. They're happy with their lifestyle, whatever it is, and they're not looking to change it. So when they stand in faith for a while and it doesn't work, they don't look to change themselves and see, what am I doing that's causing it wrong? They just flip back to what they know, which is go see a doctor in a hospital. But trying to walk in faith and participate in the medical system can be very challenging. Because if you go see the doctor and the doctor says, I want you to have this surgery, and you say, no, I don't want it, the doctor has a right to tell the insurance company that you refuse, and so they won't cover you in that area anymore. So it's a very tight, whoopish walk. In other words, to continue in the medical system, we have to accept the doctor and his opinions like a mini god. He's the god that determines whether or not you get the benefits of the medical system. Because if he says you can't do it, the insurance company will cut you off. And then you're stuck with just God. And again, there you have not chosen your time and place to fight. The devil has chosen it. So once you're in the medical system, it's a gradual spiral for most people who are blessed. It's a gradual spiral downwards. Therefore, you want to choose your battle. And you choose your battle by picking small medical health things and building up on them. Get a victory with a headache. Get a victory with a pain in your foot. Get little victories and start to build. But even there, the devil will come. And he will say, you see that little bump hanging off there? You can go to the doctor and he'll snip it off and it's all gone. And you've been standing in faith for 3 months and it's still there. And you've been putting in all this time. A lot of people get worn out and they go to the doctor and snip it off. Tell you about three people. One was the ABC, one liked ABC, and one did it once in a while, one never came. All three, in approximately the same time frame, came down with a huge tumor on the shoulder. One didn't want to have anything to do with ABC. The devil told him, and the doctor confirmed it, it's not a big deal. We can just cut it out. It will be all done. Come in. It's like a half an hour surgery, a 1 hour surgery. It's all done. Went in for the surgery. And that surgery was followed by about, 11, 12 more surgeries. I mean, the guy was healthy. I mean, these are all three ministers, by the way. Okay? All three ministers. Okay? And so he went in for a surgery that was supposed to be a few days in hospital. When the complications, invented had like 11 or 12 surgeries or more. Deteriorated. From total health to in a wheelchair. Finally died in a convalescent hospital wheelchair. This is the man, when the problem started, he was booked out like 9 months in the future. Two or three speaking services a week for like 9 months in the future. The other one heard about ABC, came to ABC, and did it the ABC way. Got total healing from that. And that, by the way, turned out to be cancer in the shoulder for this particular person. Got total healing. But never came to ABC. Just learned about it. And that was it. Got his healing, went away. Eventually, many years later, cancer came back in another area of the body, and he died. The third person, went through the ABC process and schools and everything, applied the ABC principles, stuck with ABC, did it the ABC way. He's the only one of the three still alive. Told you I have a lot of stories. Some of them are wonderful and laughing. Some of them are more serious and practical. It's all about warfare. So do not test whether or not you have already received by checking circumstantial evidence. That's probably a tough one for many of you to swallow. But that's the crux of it. If you're walking by faith, you have already received. Why do you want to see the circumstantial evidence? When you say, I want to see circumstantial evidence, I want the computerized, perfect, non-functioning machine being read by the perfect lab assistant who doesn't make mistakes, interpreted by the doctor who never makes a mistake to tell you that you're healthy, healed, and whole, and the Word of God actually works. That's what the devil wants you to do. So what are you saying? You're saying that the faith is not your infallible proof. Your faith is not your title deed. Your faith in God's word is not your evidence. I need some evidence on the natural from all these people who never made mistakes, who got D's in college. Long, long time ago, I had a friend. I was a chemist in one of the best biomedical laboratories in the country. I had a friend, and he couldn't pass the exam to go to med school. And so he came to me and says, I can't pass it. Would you take it from me? Yeah, I wasn't born again. No big deal. I said, sure, I'll take it from you. And he eventually came back and said, you know what? Somebody else has agreed to do it. So the guy took it for him. So I didn't have to do it. So I didn't do that. But in my heart, I did. It's a sin, and I repented of it. So the other guy took it for him. He got into medical school, became a doctor, and someplace out there, people are believing him instead of the Bible. You think he might be your doctor? Who knows? He's somebody's doctor. I could tell you more stories like that, but I think you got the point. Psalm, what does Psalm 1 says? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you know if your doctor is born again? Do you know if the lab assistant is born again? Do you know if your nurses are born again? Do you know if your insurance provider, the people that you deal with, are born again? Do you know if your mechanic is born again? How about your pharmacist? Do you understand that everybody is tempted by the devil? You understand the devil thinks the only chance he has is to kill every Christian and every Jew. He tried to kill every Jew many times, and in particular in World War II. Now, it's not enough for him to kill off just the Jews because Israel has already come back together. He was trying to stop the formation of Israel. Now, he's trying to stop the return of Jesus. Or failing stopping the return of Jesus, have Jesus come up with an answer that says, no. He wants the answer to the question be no. How many of you know what the question is? Thank you very much. Will I find faith? Jesus said, when I return, shall I find faith? And the answer is no. I think the Father will turn to Jesus and say, let's start over. Just like he started over with Adam and started over with Noah, he started over again. So when you're standing in faith for faith's sake, it's not just for your healing and your manifestation. for the challenge you're going through right now. It's for the challenges you will go through, and it's to help prepare the return for the coming of Jesus Christ. So don't look at life as a series of, you know, you get a big jigsaw puzzle and there's all these little pieces. You can't deal with each piece by itself. They all fit together. Everything you do, every action you take, every stance in faith is fitting together and creating the life that you have and the life that you will have as the ending days get worse. You know, we're going to have an election soon. Is it next week? When is the election? Next week or the week after?
Yeah, it is.
This coming week, right?
This coming week, the week after.
The week after we're going to have an election. November 8th, right?
Yeah.
Our lives are going to change. The lives of the country are going to change dramatically after the election.
Amen.
Understand that? Now, you're thinking, well, see, you all already have been participating in the blessings of God, in the blessings of your salvation. But sometimes we don't stop to appreciate it. Terrible things are happening all across the world. They're not happening to you all. You're thinking, well, that's because I don't go to those places in the world. And that's not the reason. It's because you're walking with God and you're walking in the presence of God and you're praying. I prophesied that 5 cities would be attacked by terrorists during the era of fear. In fact, I think I narrowed it down to 2 years. And there were, all 5, by name, in the newspaper. But all 5 attacks failed. Remember New York City when the bomber set off the car bomb and it fizzled? Times Square? That was one. Okay? All 5 cities made the news. All 5 attacks failed. But in the future, many of them won't fail. I saw in the newspaper 2 or 3 years ago, and they were showing murders in the greater LA County area. And all the murder, each murder was a little red dot all over LA County. Murders over the last, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years. Boy, it was just like almost the whole thing was in red. A lot of reds. But in one area downtown, there's an area of no red. It stuck out like a sore thumb. All the red all around and one area of no red. And I put my finger and I said, Sarah, right in here, there's a man of God. So we go check to see what's right in the area. Right in the center, Fred Price's church. Okay? Fred Price's church is right in the center. No, that's the way it should be where you live. That's the way it is with these 8 cities areas around here. Because we cover them with prayers. So yeah, the whole world may fall apart, but as your faith gets stronger and better and more effective, you can create that ark of protection over your home, your neighborhood, your city, and the surrounding cities. So as the terrible times sweep across the country, they don't impact you or your loved ones. But it means more and more, you got to take yourself out of mammon. Kick back and think. How vulnerable are you to mammon? Mammon is the system of men. Men that are influenced by the devil. Who's trying to kill you. Why would you want to be immersed in them? The Bible says over and over, come out of them. You're complete in Christ Jesus. In John 20:29, Jesus says, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You pray for something, you believe, you receive it. You're more blessed if you continue to believe that than the person who sees the manifestation. While you are standing in faith, waiting for the manifestation, believing you receive, God is working on all different areas of your body and your life. I'll give you an example. When I backslid, I committed a lot of sins. If you have time, I'll tell you what they all are. But I don't think you have that many days. And during that time, I cracked a tooth. I still had sufficient faith that I would not have a dentist replace it or whatever, okay? So I started standing in faith that God would restore the tooth. And I started standing in faith that God would restore the tooth. I would guess 1997. That's about 20 years ago, right? And over the years, instead of getting better, things got worse. I battled through pain for a while and got that solved. Pain has not been an issue for just about the 20 years. But a lot of things have come up as issues and battled through all of them. But instead of the tooth being restored, what happened was it started to get worse. First, a quarter came out, and I tossed it. Didn't bother me. I kept believing God had restored my tooth. Then maybe another 5 years later, a second quarter came out. This time I got smart, and I saved it. I put it in a little cup. Then some time go by, third quarter came out. It's in the cup. And the fourth quarter came by, it's in a cup. I got a cup someplace, and it's a tube with three different quarters of a tooth in there. And when the four quarters were gone, I look in my mouth, and all was left appears to be a little speck of tooth attached to the gum below where the tooth was. And you could move it. You could jiggle it and move around. And the devil says, that's going to create a problem. Just take a scissors and snip it off. Because he knows I won't go to see a dentist or a doctor. He said, just snip it off. I said, forget it. So it wiggled around for a few years. Then it quit wiggling and got harder and harder. And then pretty soon, where it was wiggling kind of opened up and more white below it. To make a very long story short, it actually grew out a whole brand new tooth. I am probably the only person in the world, and this is not an exaggeration, who has a brand new tooth grown back. This is, I believe, the first time I'm telling this in public. Maybe I've done it in grad school, I'm not even sure. Maybe in staff meetings. It actually grew back. A number of years ago, there's a man I know who has a family of doctors. I don't know how many doctors in his family. And he's very medically knowledgeable. And the doctors told him he was going to die. There were three diseases he had. He would die of any of the three. All three were going to kill him. The question is, which one did it first? He wouldn't die three times, though. Don't misunderstand me. So he and his wife came to me for prayer, and I led them through it. Took about 3 or 4 months. He got totally healed, which I thought was a tremendous miracle. About a year later, 2 years later, I'm talking to him on the phone. He's saying, man, I would really like to see a tremendous miracle. I said, wow. I didn't say this, but I thought, man, you already have. He says, to me, the greatest miracle I could see would be if somebody had a tooth grow back. And I had a tooth growing back in my mouth. It's not fully grown, it's about half grown. Perfect tooth, about half grown. We have different dental technicians here, and so one of them cleaned my teeth for me. And she described it as the perfect baby tooth. Not baby that babies have, but baby in that it's not fully mature. I didn't tell him. I thought, man, you have a miracle where you're healed from three terminal diseases and you want to see a tooth growing? I was disappointed. And if you're listening to this, please accept my apologies. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to help the people here. What's my point? My point is when I was standing in faith for 20 years or 15 years, whatever it was, to have my tooth restored, it kept getting worse in terms of it falling apart. But God was at work. God was at work. And 20 years later, I have a tooth, which is still growing. It's still got, I mean, as the way it's going, it's another 20 years before it's going to be full. But at least it's a perfect half tooth. But more than that, in the meantime, he has done more things for me and my mouth that I had never considered. You follow what I'm saying? Our bodies are wonderfully and complex made. That's great when they all work right. But it means there's so many things that can go wrong, there's no way you and I are ever going to figure them all out, much less find the right affirmations of them. Therefore, you focus on the ones you know and know that the ones that you know that you're standing in faith for may be taking a long time. But during that long time, what else is God doing for you that you have no idea of? When one person came here, she was brought here. You know the song, I've been healed by the strap of Jesus? That lady was brought here because she was highly challenged. While she was here, she got her healing, the major part of her healing, and she wrote that song. The day came when she brought somebody else here. Somebody who was, as I was told, was about to go to the emergency hospital. And said, now come to my church. She came here. She liked it. She stayed to get her healing. She stayed all this time to where she's now a fundamental part of ABC. And while she was here, she found a husband and got married. I mean, who would ever come to a small church like this to find a husband? All that because she kept standing in faith. If she had got her instantaneous miraculous healing the first week or the first day, none of this would have happened to her. So instantaneous miracles are not God's best. In fact, instantaneous miracles are so far from God's best that when the Israelites were fed and taken care of and protected for 40 years in the wilderness, on the day they entered the promised land, all the instantaneous miracles stopped. They had to partner with God to grow food, bless their food, bless the land, and cleanse the land. We are no longer walking in the wilderness. You all know the word of God. You all know that whether you live or die is your choice. And the choice is, you are complete in Christ Jesus. Come out of mammon. Trust the Lord. And the warfare is overcoming all the voices of the devil that are telling you you can't do it. You can do all things through Christ Jesus, my Bible tells me. One step at a time. It's not your discipline. It's not your control. It is the Holy Spirit working in you to achieve the goals. But you've got to want it, and you have to be willing to change when the Holy Spirit changes. You have to be washed by the water of the Word. When the Word says don't do it, don't do it as best as you can. If not, you better think like the pre-tribbers think. Those who believe the rapture is pre-trib and hope that you can escape before things get worse. But believe me, there ain't no such thing. Okay? God's people don't run away. People think the rapture is running away. It's not. The rapture is warring by faith. So when Jesus returns, you can see the faith we have demonstrated to prepare this world for his return. And the faith we have demonstrated to be complete in him and to be dependent on him. You know, if they thought, well, what if my Social Security dries up? What am I going to do? What if the company I work for goes bankrupt? What if all my life savings disappear? All that would be really bad. Would be nice. But so what? You still got heaven. You still got Jesus. You're still complete in Christ Jesus. You can still do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And if it took you 40 years to amass the wealth you have, with what you know now, it shouldn't take you much longer. It should be a short time. Especially since the wealth of the sinner has been transferred over to the church in these end of days. So if it's all gone, you can start over. You know, in the like heading towards 40 years that I have been saved. When I got saved, I had a home in Malibu. I had my own business. I had respected, well-known customers and clients. Western Airlines, Continental Airlines, Caesars Palace, for example. First Interstate Bank, Security Pacific Bank. Long list of clients. And God said, close them all down. I closed them all down. In the natural, within days, I was bankrupt. Never declared bankruptcy. God and I worked through it. But since that day until now, I've only worked for 3 companies. That's over close towards 40 years. 3 companies, each for 3.5 years. That's 10 years out of what? Let's say 35 years that I have not worked. And God has provided. So you think it bothers me if I got to start over? Been there, done that. And that's what I don't want to leave you all with. Been there, done that. That needs to be your motto. Because when you've been there and done that, you choose the timing. You choose the timing and you do it. You pick the fight when you want it, at your time, in your method. That maximizes your opportunity of being successful and minimizes the fight. Don't wait till the devil chooses a fight. I have gone to people. I don't know how many. Maybe half a dozen. Maybe more. And I've said to them, these are all people who have passed what I considered to be a ripe age for them based on their knowledge of the word. Based on the knowledge of the word. I've gone to them, I said, you know, the time to go to heaven is when you're healthy. All you got to do is ask the Lord, take me home to heaven. You don't have to die because of sickness and disease and pain. Within 6 months of each time I tell that to a person, they fall into severe, life-threatening medical challenges. I've not said that to anybody here, nor is it in my heart to say it to anybody here. But the time to make the decision to go to heaven or to fight is not when you're in the hospital and the doctor saying you're going to die. That ain't the time. The time is when you're healthy, healed, whole, and you have time to study the word and practice. That's the time. So I've not said it to anybody here, nor anybody on the internet. So, I understand this is your normal Sunday morning, fun-loving sermon. But warring is never really fun. And we're warring by faith. The good news is that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. And that you all have come a long way already. I just want you to understand how far you've come along. I can make a good case to say that we are already in the first 4 seals being opened in Revelation 6. I can make that good case for it. I'm not saying we are. God has not told me that we are. But the signs pointed. The first 6 seals are what's referred to in Revelation chapter 7 as the Great Tribulation. As the Great Tribulation. Chapter 7. In case you don't know it, Revelation has 22 chapters. And I can make a strong case that we're in the first 4. And it hasn't come near any of us. In the Great Depression, the unemployment was extremely high. It was 25%. But that's the negative way of looking at it. The positive way of looking at it, 3 people out of 4 had jobs. Why wouldn't the Christians be those of the tree in the form. In fact, the only reason why they may not be is because they weren't tithers. There was a man, I'm going to close this story. There's a man, a very wealthy man, who in San Francisco decided to work on the food line giving out food during the recession. He's very wealthy. And he gave out a soup line giving out soup. He said for the entire time he did it, which is months or maybe even years, every single person that he gave food to, he would say, when you things were better and you had a job, did you used to tithe? And 100% said no. 100% said no. He never found one person on the soup line during the Great Depression that was a tither before. Okay, folks. Thank you for your rapt attention. And God bless you all, because he loves you even more than I do. Amen.